from NPR Music. This is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
Now, Jazz has just returned from traveling in Venezuela for NPR's Morning Edition.
And while I was gone, Felix, you recorded with a guest DJ whose name is Juan Felipe Herrera. He's a poet. He's a university professor who is also California's Poet Laureate.
Juan Felipe is the first Latino to hold that honorary position since, get this, since 1915.
What? 1915?
Yes, they've had a poet laureate since 1915. Juan Felipe is the first Latino.
Are you trying to tell me there has been no Latinos who write poetry in California since 1915?
I'm trying to tell you that no...
I know my people and I find this hard to believe.
I'm trying to tell you that there have been no people who have held that position since 1915.
Okay. In the interest of full disclosure, we have to tell you that Felix and Juan Felipe Herrera, you guys have been friends for over 30 years, and I didn't even know you were that old.
Thank you for that.
They were in a poetry and music group called the Troca Rhythm and Sign Ensemble back in the early 1980s in California.
But Juan Felipe is not on the show because he's a friend of mine, or he's an old bandmate. We asked him to stop by with some songs to talk about poetry because April is National Poetry Month here in the United States. So he brought some music, and we're going to hear some of his poetry.
Oh, do you have a poem that you love of his?
We can start with, I'm going to read one of his poems called The Mission Street Manifesto.
Mission Street, like in San Francisco?
Exactly.
I used to live there.
And so did Juan Felipe. And it's something that we performed as the Troca Rhythm and Sign Ensemble. But I'm just going to read it today. Blow out the jiving smoke, the plastic mix, the huddling straw of the dying mind. And rise, sisters, rise, brothers, and spill the song and sing the blood that calls the heart, the flesh that has eyes and gnaws the chains, and blow and break through the fuse, the military spell, the dreams of foam, make the rift jump, the jazz ignite the wheel, burn the blade, churn, rise, and rise, sisters, rise, brothers, spill the song and sing the blood that calls the ancient dreams. Go chanting, libre, chanting libre, chanting libre, la misión libre, el salvador libre, la mujer, the will of the worker, now the destiny of the children libre, blow out the jiving smoke, the plastic mix of the huddling straw of the dying mind, the paroling gods, the corporate saints, the plutonium clouds, strike the right, the new right, to crucify the right, to decay the triple K, the burning cross, the territorial rape game, and stop the neutron man, the nuclear dream, the assassination line, the alienation master, the well-groomed empire, that death suit, and rise libre, libre, and rise, libre. That was Mission Street Manifesto from Juan Felipe Herrera. Juan Felipe is professor of creative writing at UC Riverside in California, and he joins us from radio station KUCR. Juan Felipe, thanks for joining us here on Alt Latino.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Juan Felipe, you brought in a list of songs today, and songs that were part of your childhood, but also songs that could be considered part of the Chicano movement of the late 1960s and 70s. Now, we started with a track from the 1970 album called Abraxas by Santana. We just heard Singing Winds and Crying Beasts. And now we're going to move on to something called Incident at Nesherber. Juan Felipe, why did you choose this music?
Well, you know, that was the late 60s, and I had just come into UCLA, so I came up in Chicano luggage with cardboard boxes and ropes, and I found my way to UCLA. And at the same time, I began to meet a lot of good people, a part of the Chicano Studies program, which I had just opened at UCLA. It kind of changed my life. And I also met young artists like myself, and we all lived in a Chicano house in Santa Monica. And in that Chicano house, we played the, I think the first album, the first big album, the white album with the lion's head and also Abraxas, 24 hours a day, with the walls painted blue and white and papaya tea all the way through. So it was very creative, you know, very wild, creative. And also a very, it was a place to organize political and cultural events throughout Los Angeles and UCLA as well. So it was a creative, kind of experimental and collective and kind of a very key moment to writing what I was writing and also being in a kind of a very active social world, socio-political world.
And we should probably mention, too, that at the time there was also the United Farm Workers that were organizing farm workers for the first time during that time. So there was a social and musical and cultural, like, intersection, like a climax of all these different things happening, man. And the poetry was part of that as well. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about who some of the poets were from that time and what they were writing and what it was like?
Well, you know, it was a very... like I said, experimental, loose, groovy, very, very hot time. So it wasn't when we talk about poetry today or even when we say the word Chicano movement today. At that point, we didn't really see ourselves that clearly because we were all kind of blurred and creating split second and taking journeys to Latin America, Mexico, to Chiapas, Cuba, and journeying throughout the Southwest on crackers and sardine cans. So it was more like that. The poets at that time in Los Angeles and also on campus at UCLA, were people like Oscar Zeta Costa. I remember holding his poems and his sheets of paper and reading his poetry as he kind of scattered them around campus. Of course, he's known as a great autobiographical novelist and spearhead of a very unique current in Latino and Chicano literature. Very bold, you know, amazing, beautiful.
The lawyer turned writer Oscar Zeta Costa wrote two very groundbreaking Chicano novels back then, Revolt of the Cockroach People and Autobiography of a Brown Buffalo.
So this is even before he was writing that.
Wow.
So this is when he was a poet. Other poets like Alurista, of course, but he was from San Diego. I was from San Diego. He would come by and we'd go listen to Thelonious Monk at the Shelley's Manhole in downtown L.A.
You mentioned that you and the poet Alurista would go into Los Angeles to hear Thelonious Monk. So let's hear some of that music right now. Let's hear Ugly Beauty from Thelonious Monk.
We were all kind of just mixing it up on campus and off campus, and walking around with guitars, standing on corners playing songs, El Picket Sign from the Farm Workers Movement. So it was the Farm Workers Movement, crazy jazz, improvised poems, Oscar Zeta, walking around with a little scroll of handwritten poems. So that's what we were doing with that music in the background.
Now, when I think of Chicano poetry back then, I think of Jose Montoya from Sacramento, who was a few years older than you and had already pioneered a little bit of Chicano literature, right?
That's right. That's when Jose Montoya was already writing. He was ahead of everybody. He already had been writing some Chicano poetry, bilingual poetry. And, of course, he was founding the Royal Chicano Air Force that traveled around in bombers, which were Volkswagen buses, and landed in communities and set up murals on the spot. It was the most amazing thing. We were kind of all just on this fluid community interlocking network from San Antonio all the way to San Francisco. And we all kind of met each other, knew each other, and we're all writing together, performing together, and traveling together. So it's more like a traveling caravan of music, theater, performance, organizing, rallies, and writing as fast as we could on anything that we could, eating frijoles and red rice in kitchens of friends and where we landed. So, oh yeah, you know, thanks for coming over to Logan Heights. We got some rice ready for you. We got some tortillas for you. And we're so glad that you're here. And we heard that you're going to set up a mural and read some poems. Yeah, but you know, I'm starving. So, you know, let's have some burritos. So that's how it was. It was like a burrito circuit from San Francisco all the way to San Antonio and beyond.
Juan, you mentioned the poet Jose Montoya was probably a little bit ahead of you guys in terms of having already published poetry and already dedicated his life to poetry and art and artistic expression. Who were the influences for people like Jose Montoya and yourself? Were there poetic influences from the wide world of poetry? Were there specific Latino or Latin American poets that you guys looked to? What were some of your early influences in poetry?
Well, you know, I would imagine that for Jose Montoya, the early influences were kind of a just like a Chicano, you know, just like it was a Chicano mix. It must have been the beats, the beat movement, and also the pre-farm worker movement when Jose was traveling through Nuevo Mexico, Arizona, and San Joaquin Valley with his family and his parents' family, his extended family. That's what I mean. Working and telling stories and singing songs and how we got here and what kind of work are we doing and conversations, stories, canciones, adivinanzas, riddles, a lot of self-made words, you know, the kind of words we create on when we travel, English and Spanish, and no, pásame las cracas with the peanut butter, ándale, you know, pass those crackers and that peanut butter so we can make some, you know, some sandwiches de baloney on the side con una soda, a root beer. So that kind of poured into the poem.
Okay, now let's hear another track you brought in. This is Afro-Cuban jazz from the late 1950s, a style that must have been a big influence on writers like Jose Montoya and other artists from that era. This is the Cal Jader Quintet featuring Mongo Santa Maria and the killer tune called Tumbao. Now, since you were given the position of the Poet Laureate by Governor Jerry Brown last year, there's been a lot of newspaper articles about you. And I was surprised to learn that you also grew up as a migrant, that you traveled around working the fields with your family when you were a kid.
Well, you know, they worked the fields. I was kind of doodling around playing with the bugs. My parents were the ones that were out there in the blistering sun. When I was born, my father was 66 years old. So you can imagine how hard the work was for a man at that age, and yet he could do it into his 70s. And my mother, too, you know, she was much younger, but she did the work, that very hard work, and then cooked outside in the open, and we traveled in a trailer that my father made on top of another car. He found a chassis of a car with wheels, and he just built a one room on top of it, and that was our house, hooked up to his, I don't know, 1930s army truck or 1940s army truck that he bought in Fort Bliss, next to El Paso, right there in El Paso. So that's where he bought his army truck, and that was our automobile. So yeah, that's my early years, probably until I was around 7 years old. That's what it was, just grooving around in my father's army truck, pulling the improvised. Poetic house that we lived in, from city to rancho to open camps to Ramona, where I think that was the last time I saw that trailer that my father made. It was up in Ramona, up the hill, on the res, and then we came down that hill to San Diego, and that's when I had city life.
Now, is that at the point when which poetry found a way into your life, and when you really opened your eyes up to poetry?
You know, poetry is kind of an interesting word. Poetry as poetry, with that word hooked up to it, came into my life probably middle school and for sure by high school. No, by high school, I was a roaring poet. I just loved it so much. It was just a natural love for poetry. I used to buy handbooks, beat language handbooks, rhyming word books, and I just started that in high school.
You know, earlier we were talking about some of the early influences and going back a ways. And I imagine that corridos, Mexican corridos, are part of the literature of the Chicanos in the Southwest. And one of the songs you picked is a song called El Contrabando del Paso. And I have a version by Antonio Aguilar.
El día 16 de agosto vamos desesperados que nos sacarán del paso pa' mandarnos mancornados. Nos sacaron de la corte como a las 8 de la noche, nos llevaron en un coche.
Why did you pick this song, and what does it mean to you?
Oh, you know, my entire life is based on that one song. My mother used to sing that song to me before I even spoke, and she always sang it. So before I even started talking, she used to sing that song until our last days together, when she passed away at 79 years old. So I began everything in a way, my whole literary, poetic imagination, singing world, with that one song, the Contraband of El Paso. Las once de la noche, estábamos desesperados. You know, 11 o'clock at night, we were very desperate. And it talks about the first lines, how the migrant Mexican workers were grabbed by the immigration patrols and handcuffed and thrown into a van, headed to Leavenworth, to prison. So that's what this song talks about, is about. And she used to sing it to me, you know, my mother's voice was very sweet. And I would just sing along with her, and eventually she suggested that I get myself a guitar. So I got a six-string Stella, a classic little, you know, beginner guitar. And then I would play that. And then we would sing together.
Mr. Gil con su risita me contesta, no señor, pasaremos por visita.
we're talking with Juan Felipe Herrera about poetry, about life, about art. And I had a whole script, you know, an outline of what we were going to talk about, but I'm throwing it away, man. And let's just riff as we used to do.
Let's do that. It's cool.
One of the songs you brought in, so you asked for something by Bob Dylan, and I brought in Masters of War.
Oh yeah.
Talk to us about Bob Dylan and where he fit into your life and how his music impacted you.
Well, you know, I used to after I grew up in those trailers and farm worker camps. The rest of my life was in small apartments in cities with my mother and father. And I'm an only child, so it was just me really trying to find ways, exploring ways of being who I am by myself, since I didn't have a brother to model on or a sister. And my parents, you know, they were very, very humble and quiet and very inspirational. But, you know, when you're a teenager, you kind of find your own way. So the folk song movement was very hot and in transition in the 60s and the mid 60s in particular. And out of that movement of folk song, Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger, and for example, came Bob Dylan.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns, here that build the death planes, here that build all the bombs, here that hide behind walls, here that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes. And I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. And then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world for threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins.
I come out of the folk song movement as a poet. I come out of the folk song movement, and Bob Dylan was a great inspiration. Because he transitioned into electric guitar and to rock, kind of folk rock, and all kinds of transitions that he made and continues to make. So he was one of my models, singing models and songwriting models, because I also wrote songs, folk songs. So Chicano writing, you know, world beat, world philosophers, Eastern thought, as well as sitar and Santana, Thelonious Monk, folk song, and Bob Dylan. If you can put it all together, that's how we kicked off as Chicano writers and poets.
Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you're lured down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Juan Felipe, how did all of those things that you just mentioned, that incredible cultural potpourri of influences and sounds and sights and experiences, you know, how does that influence you now in the 21st century in what you're doing and how you're writing? Where does that fit in your life?
Well, you know, it's inside of me. It's inside of my mind and my consciousness as best as it can be. And you know, I've also moved on to other influences, but it's definitely inside of me, and I still have those east west delicacies. You know, I still they're kind of I'm surfing on those. All this stuff that we've talked about, I'm surfing on it.
One of the songs I wanted to make sure we got to was by Facundo Cabral. What I found was No Soy de Aquí Ni de Allá.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. That's the key one.
Me gusta andar, pero no sigo el camino. Pues lo seguro ya no tiene misterio. Me gusta ir con el verano muy lejos, pero volver donde mi madre en invierno. Y ver los perros que jamás me olvidaron, y los abrazos que me dan mis hermanos. Me gusta el sol y la mujer cuando llora, las golondrinas y también las señoras, saltar balcones y abrir las ventanas.
Talk to us a little bit about him. Who was he and what was his music like?
You know, early 70s. This is early 70s when Facundo Cabral comes into play for me. And I guess in this time, I was listening to Facundo Cabral's voice, listening to Jorge Cafrune, the Chileno, a folk singer, listening to Mercedes Sosa, political folk singer, Victoria Parra, and Atahualpa Yupanqui, Argentino. So these are poets, songwriters, folk singers with very many influences. Some are very jazzy, some are just guitar. And that was also very inspiring. So we had the folk song movement influence for the United States, and also the folk song movement from Latin America and Caribbean, and definitely from Mexico with the corridos, right? And that's a great song that you mentioned, No Soy de Aquí, which is what we were talking about. I'm not from here. Ni soy de allá. I'm not from there. So then what do we have to do? We have to answer that puzzle. We have to answer that riddle. Where am I from then? Who am I then? Where am I going? Jeez, you know, do I fit in the universe? Maybe I'll have to create the universe or recreate it. Or maybe we can do it together.
Juan Felipe, thank you so much for spending time with us. I had a million more questions, but, you know, we'll do this again sometime.
Well, thank you so much. I sure appreciate it, Felix, and NPR, and everybody. Muchas gracias.
No soy de aquí, ni soy de allá. No tengo edad, ni por venir, ni ser. No soy de aquí, ni soy de allá.
Felix, that was an awesome interview. I am never leaving again because you just do really cool stuff when I'm gone.
Well, I had to do something because you weren't here. And we really want to give our thanks to Juan Felipe and for his insight and his recollections about a very, very exciting, what I've always considered an exciting period in history.
I feel like I understand you a lot better.
Thank you very much.
I still don't understand your hairstyle.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear these songs, all of the songs that Juan Felipe brought today, in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The conversation always carries on.
We'd love to hear what you have to say about some of the things that Juan Felipe said and some of his historical recollections. We also want to remind you that you can hear every song we've played on our show on our 24/7 stream, Alt Latino Radio. You can find that at npr.org/music.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras. This has been a very Chicano Alt Latino.